You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And save her. Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to A Conversation with Dawn Karima. We are so glad that you've joined us today. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so thankful to Adam H. for making this series possible, and to all of you who help us to create and produce and share the visions and the voices of our excellent guests. We have a fantastic guest here today, and I'm so happy that he's here with us. And I'll ask you, sir, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is John Dawson. I'm the CEO of Community for New Direction, one of the behavioral health organizations that Adam H. funds.
Wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a privilege.
Well, as I think about mental health and the wonderful work that you're doing, so many things come to mind. But when you think about what you do, what does that mean to you?
Well, I've been in this field for just shy of 28 years, so I'm very passionate about mental health and substance use disorder needs in our community. So when I think of mental health, I think of people in need of help to just live their best life, whatever the quality of life that they choose, but just having some assistance in attaining that.
That's a wonderful way to look at it. And so what drew you personally into that field? I mean, there's lots of ways to help people. Why this one?
It was really one of those things where I just took a job, and in 94, I worked for a small company at that time that had a program for teenagers, and it was a residential facility, and I met some great people there that triggered me to want to get in the field. Their work just seemed so good, you know, just helping people every day. Just felt good for me, and just watching the clinical side made me want to learn more. And that was the beginning. And I've only been at two places for the last 27 years. So
that's a powerful testimony in and of itself. I mean, clearly you found your calling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I listened to you, and the work that you do, the way that you came to do this work, and wanting so much for the people that you serve. How's mental health right now? As you look at the nation, as you look at the region, as you look at the state, how is mental health these days?
Mental health is at a high. being that there's many contributing factors, but most recently, COVID. COVID has exacerbated mental health in people who aren't even aware that they're experiencing some mental health diagnoses. You know, for example, anxiety is very high for the people that are unemployed, or for the people that are employed that don't know how much longer their companies will stay open, or are they going to mandate vaccination at my company, and I don't want to get vaccinated. So there's just a lot. How do I manage work and my child's school is virtual?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, is my company going to work with me? And so I look at all those variables. And so depression diagnoses and depression is very high. Diagnoses and anxiety is very high. Diagnoses in adjustment disorders are very high. So I think they'll continue to climb until we, as a nation, find a solution to rebuilding our workforce and leveling out and beginning to decrease in COVID hospitalizations and deaths.
Well, that's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. It really
it is.
So, well, what are our action steps in the midst of all this? What can we do? Where do we start when everything seems so overwhelming?
I think we start by reaching out to others. For some people, that will be local mental health agencies, which, you know, I encourage so much, that there's a lot of help in Franklin County, and quite often it's not sought after by the working population, you know, just based on stereotypes and biases. But I think of our agency and what we do to help with improving the lives of others. Steps are making people feel comfortable in receiving counseling, educating the community that it's okay to not feel right during a time of such change. Just taking away all the stereotypes.
I wonder.
We can help you.
Yes, right. And I wonder about the stereotypes and the stigma surrounding mental health, because, you know, we've all watched games, the football game, and the athlete, you know, tears their ACL or they throw their shoulder out, and all kinds of people come running out to help them, and people clap as they go off the field, and they go to get some medical help, and we're grateful for this. We're happy for this. And yet someone wakes up and their mind's just not right, and there's a stigma, or they're afraid to say anything, or people talk about crazy people. So can you talk to us a little bit about the stereotypes, stigmas, and how we eradicate some of those?
Yes. There have been stigmas on mental health and substance use disorders for many years. What we know on the helping side is that people of all walks of life, just like primary health, experience bouts or taking a bad step and you broke an ankle. With behavioral health for substance use disorders, it's sometimes one bad decision or one bad experience that begins the process of mental illness or substance use disorders. And the state has ran a few stigma campaigns just to try to educate the community. We're a local organization and we don't have the funds to really do a campaign of that nature, but what we do is we educate those that we serve and the families of those that we serve just to make them more comfortable in receiving services, because most often people coming to our organization, it's the first time that they've ever received mental health services. So we just try to make them comfortable.
My goodness. I think I hear so often that mental health is almost treated like a character flaw. If you'd pray harder or work harder, or do more of this or that, somehow you could just get over it. And so how do we normalize asking for help?
I think, again, it's everyone doing their part in those that are aware and understand mental illness in educating their neighbor, educating their friend. And it's very interesting that you said that, because you're absolutely correct. If you are a person suffering with a mental illness that is being managed, completely, if you acknowledge that to someone else, let's say at church, quite often there's going to be whispers going around and people potentially scooting over, thinking that whatever that, as you said, character flaw or that idea in their brain, how they see mental illness, they'll begin to transfer that on to their neighbor. And it's really just ignorance. There's no one that hasn't experienced some form of mental illness in their family. And so it's just been hidden, and quite often said they're just that way, but they're left untreated. I see people every day that are receiving treatment who interact with me no different than I interact with one of my colleagues. So it shows that treatment works, and they go on to work and live a what we would want to call a normal life. But without treatment, then they begin to spiral into making poor decisions for themselves, and no different than a diabetic that is not taking their medication and eating more sweets than they should and being hospitalized. They spiral down to a place where there has to be a medical intervention. So I compare the two quite often to people that diabetes doesn't have the stereotype that let's say opiate use has. A diabetic can receive care from their doctor for a lifetime, and they go back and forth about diet. But diabetes can be managed with eating the right foods, exercising, and taking your medication as prescribed. Well, the opiate, the person addicted to opiate, no different. It can be managed by going to treatment, receiving education, in some cases taking your medications as prescribed, and building yourself a support group. But one is viewed as a norm in society, and one is viewed as a bad person that uses illegal drugs. But that person could have began using pain pills from a football energy accident as a college student or high school student, or a active adult, broke an ankle and prescribed an opiate, and eventually became addicted to that opiate. Doctor stopped prescribing, and so now that person is left with an opiate addiction where they're going to experience withdrawal. And once they have, they begin to seek a substitute on the street.
Wow. When you put it like that, you know, I wish that was the narrative that surrounded all of this much more than sort of the media version that we get.
Yes.
Are there any versions of perhaps mental health or recovery journeys in films or TV shows that you think do a good job of portraying this, the reality of it?
You know, I've seen a couple, and really I don't watch a lot of TV, so I can't remember, but I have seen a couple films that had realistic use and outcomes and for mental illness, just realistic diagnoses and what treatment can do. But then I think there's just as many that or more that portray a mentally ill person in a negative light. They show the person that really is diagnosed with a severe, persistent mental illness, and that's that person that we often see on a street corner, or a person that's really disheveled. It's mental illness at its worst, where there's a broad spectrum of mental illness that we don't see very often. We don't see the attorney who suffers from anxiety that's being seen by a nurse practitioner or a psychiatrist and being prescribed a medication to help them manage that. And with that medication, they interact with society calmly and comfortably as anyone else, but they have a diagnosis. And then there's somebody else with depression that we see visuals of, the person always in the dark and the person always with the blinds closed, curtains closed, where depression is a treatable illness as well. And people are with treatment able to interact with family and others and have fun with grandchildren and work. So we don't see enough of that in the media.
Right.
I've seen a couple, but not enough.
Just for our friends that listen, I do think that Queen Sugar does an excellent job with it. This Is Us. They tackle some wide variety of issues and have, you know, had a mental health storyline. So, I mean, there are some places where folks are really trying, I think, to shift the narrative into a better place. But one of the greatest things that my mentor, one of my mentors, the late Dr. Lee Francis, who was in charge of Native American Studies at University of New Mexico. He said, I'm going to need you to tell your story, whatever that story is, because if someone else tells it, they will tell it wrong. And so if we take that and apply it to this conversation, which is so enlightening about mental health, then how do we encourage people perhaps who are in a recovery process or working through some sort of mental issue to tell their own story so that we know what's happening to them and we can be supportive of them? How do we do that?
Well, I think everything, it goes to kind of the foundation of my career. Mm-hmm. I learned early on that in order to be a facilitator of change, you must first build a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin that relationship with me not asking you anything. It's a sincere effort to build a relationship with you. That person that is able to build the relationship, anywhere from the custodian to the psychiatrist, that person is going to be the most useful. So I could be the custodian and have a relationship with, or build a relationship over time of coming on to a specific unit. That person will listen more to me than he would the educated psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be able to make more movement. So it goes the same. I mean, it really is about building relationships as you interact with others, and you'd be surprised what they will tell you. They will tell you their life story over and over. If they trust that you're sincerely there to help them, because there's so much mistrust when it comes to mental health care as well as substance use disorder care. People have made statements many years ago to today, I don't want people in my head. I can figure it out. Or I don't want to take that medication, where that medication has nothing to do with your diagnosis, but you've just seen someone else portrayed either on TV or maybe in real life, having medication that has a bad side effect, maybe lethargic or something. But not all diagnoses receive that level of medication, and some don't receive any medication at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's all talk therapy.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy that you shared that with us. I'm learning so much from you right now. And one thing I think we don't know in our society, because of the media, because of the slang, the way we describe things, that's crazy, man, you know.
That's right.
We don't really know. So how do we know when it's the difference between a bad day, right? You're just having a bad day, and actually something that needs treatment in order to help you?
When we build relationships and begin to know people, we can see in our loved ones and our colleagues a word, congruence or incongruent. If I watch you or interact with you on a daily basis, and you have bad days in those days, I can tell when there's something more than just a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
If your memory is beginning to fail you, if you're beginning to say things that seem out of character.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone that knows you, I should ask you, are you all right?
Mm-hmm.
And give you a reason why I asked that question. And being that we have a relationship, I would expect you to answer it, because you know it's out of care and concern, and I want the best for you. So again, one of the biggest gaps in society's care for the mentally ill is society's understanding of how to build genuine relationships. Years ago, we knew all our neighbors up and down the street.
Sure.
Walk down the street and people would just speak to you. Today, most people don't know the names of the neighbors on either side of their house.
Mm.
So we've separated as a society. Therefore, things can be going on with people living right in your community and you don't even know them.
Right.
To help. And that's mm-hmm. in all society. That's
yes.
not just
yes.
one race, one group.
Mm-hmm.
That's how society is today.
And social distancing and the pandemic.
Yes.
And lockdowns
yes.
and quarantines. Does that, you know, aggravate the situation?
It absolutely does.
Mm.
You know, we provide telehealth,
mm-hmm.
But there's so many barriers to providing a sufficient amount of telehealth.
Mm-hmm.
We've bought people tablets, telephones,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've assisted through city grants and federal grants that were specific to that. But when you're working with someone with a mental illness or a substance use disorder, quite often that equipment just gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very easily stolen from someone that can't speak up for themselves, or pawned because that day they were hungry and wasn't able to communicate that to someone that could help with
mm-hmm.
That hunger. But
yeah.
it's really about increasing services to meet that need.
That's right, and I'm so thankful that you're there to do just that. When we come back from commercial, we're going to focus on your agency and what you do and how folks can find help from you there. And so we'll be right back with much more of this truly transformational discussion after these messages.
Knowing your breasts can save your life. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. Brought to you by Susan G. Coleman and the Ad Council.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov
This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream. For life that's healthy and clean, make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hello, excuse me, who are you?
I am the pool boy, and this is Mrs. H, a wealthy but lonely older woman who has seduced me to get revenge on her aloof and philandering husband.
Why are you salivating on each other in my living room?
But we salivate on each other in everyone's living room.
If you don't want your kids to watch it, block it. It's easy to be the boss of what your kids watch by blocking the television programming you might like but don't want them to see. To learn how, go to thetvboss.org. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and thetvboss.org.
Have you ever wished you could spend more time with your kids, or maybe quality time with your spouse, when you can actually have an uninterrupted conversation? Do you owe your dad a little catch-up time? Well, it's time to reconnect, and no activity can bond a family together quite like boating and fishing. I mean, think of all the great experiences you had as a kid when you went boating or fishing. Well, guess what? It's still great. Boating and fishing are the perfect opportunities for your family to get away, to talk, to laugh, to create new memories. So take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you. If you haven't been on the water in a while and you're not sure where to start, or if you just like to have some helpful tips for your next trip, please visit takemefishing.org. This has been a public service of TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
We're so glad that you've joined us today for this dynamic discussion. We are so blessed that Adam H. is making it possible for us to do this series and dive deep into improving Indigenous mental health and mental health for all of us, our friends and beloved listeners all over the world, worldwide audience. And yet we have some universal ideas and issues and things that impact us all. And so I'm so glad our guest is here today to help us sort that out. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is John Dawson. and I'm the CEO of Community for New Directions.
It means the world to me that you've joined us today. Thank you so much for making the effort, and I know how busy you are and giving us the gift of your time today.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's talk about your agency, the actual organization that you are so expertly heading at this time. Will you tell us about it, please?
Yes. Community for New Directions has been around for going on 33 years. We
wow.
started in 1989 in a neighborhood here in Columbus, Ohio called Sullivan Garden. At that time, maybe 2 or 3 years straight, zero kids graduated from high school.
Oh, my.
Teenage pregnancy was very high, and the community was just infiltrated with drugs. People from all over the city came to that small project and bought drugs. So the program started out as a volunteer program where people volunteer to provide a mentorship prevention program, and it was after school. We received a $40,000 demonstration grant, and we began to do programming with teenagers in an effort to intervene on their drug dealing and their sexual activity.
Mm.
We were going to educate them on the harms and dangers of both. And unbeknownst to us, they were taking the money that we were giving them as stipends to come and just buying more drugs. So.
Uh-huh.
We reassessed our efforts and decided that we'll work with a younger population, and it would be prevention rather than intervention.
Uh-huh.
And we began doing that. We began getting calls from the neighborhood schools saying how much better the students that were participating with us were doing in school. And so we said, we're onto something. And we went from being a volunteer program to a program in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
We incorporated in 1995. And today, we're over a $5 million company, serving over 2,000 people a year. When I started, we had 8 employees. That was in 2007. Today, we have over 60 employees. The work that we do, we continue to do, which was our foundational work, and that's prevention. So pre-pandemic, we were in 21 different Columbus City schools providing anti-bullying programming as well as mentoring. We provide after-school programming for youth ages 5 to 14. At 3 different sites throughout the school year. We feed them a hot meal. We provide some programming, homework help. And then we take them to the rec center to run off the food and just have a little fun before before going home. And so we have a total of 4 sites in the city. We also work with adults in the capacity of substance use disorder and mental illness. We provide outpatient and intensive outpatient care. We provide services to the severely persistent mentally ill. We actually have a COVID crisis program that we have individuals that go out and educate the public on vaccination and also to link them with services and resources that have come from the isolation that we spoke of before the commercial break. We also have an intervention team that is a violence intervention. We have a team of 8 people that are intervention specialists, and they interact with local gangs and children who have high potential or high risk of becoming gang members to decrease violence in our community. As we all know, this has been a very violent year.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell people is, if it wasn't for programs like ours, we would have even seen more violence.
Oh my.
Because when you work in a negative, in programs where you're decreasing something,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult to talk about numerical outcomes. It's hard to say what you prevented, but I always can say we can measure what we've educated people on through pre and post tests. And that's something else about our agency. Everything we do is evaluated. We don't do anything that we don't have evaluated by an external body. So we always know what we're doing well and what we can improve on.
Mm-hmm.
Because the goal naturally is to be the best provider that we can be. And that's only through strict observation of the services that we provide. Our agency is staffed in a way that it overlays our customer base, so we're very diverse. Something that I like to tell people, and have always told people, we're led by a majority African-American executive team, but that doesn't make us an African-American agency. We serve all people.
Mm-hmm.
But without an apology, we put a lot of work in our African-American community because that community has been left out for so many years of the services that we provide today. So we do a lot of outreach in zip codes that are primarily African-American. If you look at our overdose rate today, African-Americans are dying at a greater rate than white Americans in any other population, when we're such a minority population that shouldn't be. And so we're trying to have a strategic intervention of that group as we do outreach and make referrals to ourselves or to others that we think will give them the service that they deserve. So same as our violence intervention programs. There's more African-American children being shot and dying than there are white. So naturally, we spend more time outreaching and working with African-American children in our high schools and those who are out of high school in their homes to improve the quality of their lives and give them resources that quite often other people already have.
Wow, that is incredible. I hope someone has thanked you today for the work that you do, but just in case they have not, thank you. Thank you.
You're absolutely welcome. Our mission statement is CND empowers individuals to achieve their potential. I left out the how, and the how just happens to be through innovative programs and positive relationships. So it's back to the relationships. But what we want people to really hear is that we empower individuals to achieve their potential.
Mm-hmm.
And what we mean by that is, and this is one of those things that a lot of people new to the field of helping have to learn. I don't want for somebody what I want for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want for somebody what they want for themselves, and I help them view options mm-hmm. and abilities. And so I've always said, you know, I'm here to help you improve the quality of your life, whatever that is. That way, it's always client-centered.
I think that's amazing. But of course, I'm going to ask, what do you want for your life? You want the best for others, but what do you want for you?
I do. I want to, at this stage in life, I want to retire in the next decade,
mm-hmm.
Knowing that I've done my best, and
mm-hmm.
when it's all done and said, I'll hear, job well done.
Well done.
I really am a low-maintenance individual, and I seek peace in everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, really, I'm happy every day. I mean, despite what might be going on in the world, I can find good in all things. And I've had a great career. I want to retire and be one of those people that get to enjoy retirement
mm-hmm.
and not mm-hmm. work too long that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I think I'll always be in a place of helping others. You know, there'll be some volunteerism in my retirement, and I'll probably choose something different than what my career has been, but who knows?
Mm.
Just want my family to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. and everyone live a good life.
Well, that is beyond beautiful. That truly is.
Thank you.
And I believe that that's exactly what's going to happen for you. You're going to be blessed in all those ways and more.
How do
folks connect with your program? Maybe they've heard us and they realize, oh boy, maybe they feel like they need a little help. What do they do?
Yes. So for any adult services, you would call 614-252-4941, or you could access our website at www.cnd, like Charlie, Nancy, David, Columbus.org, and request services. You can request services verbally, but there's also a place to communicate with us and request services on our website. For
okay.
all adolescent services, youth or adolescent, you would dial 614-1464. 614-272-1464. Or visit the same website, which will display all youth services. And you could then determine what service you need and make a phone call.
Perfect.
You can always reach me
mm-hmm.
at jdawson, J-D-A-W-S-O-N, at cndcolumbus.org. I'm here to always be of assistance if you can't get through for some reason to one of our phone lines.
Perfect. Perfect. I would really appreciate it if you would take these last few minutes that we have left and speak directly to our friends who listen to us. They're coming out of this pandemic. We're still in this pandemic. They're making big decisions. Life has changed. Some are in real grief. They've lost a loved one or maybe been sick themselves. And I would just love to turn the mic over to you right now so that you can offer us some help and some wisdom, please.
Okay. So what I'd like to, I guess, start with is you're not alone. Know that we all are experiencing very similar life experiences on a daily basis. Fear is real, and you don't have to excuse it or feel less than a person of courage. There's a lot of crime going on in our city that is also causing a lot of anxiety. Somehow through the COVID pandemic, it's overshadowed the opiate epidemic. And so for anyone listening that is experiencing opiate addiction, please call 614-252-4941. We'd love to help you. Anyone that is experiencing anxiety or feel like you're having panic attacks, feel like you've become disinterested in things that you used to have interest in, we'd love to help you. And again, you're not alone. That is happening to quite a few Americans at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Call us at 614-252-4941 and ask for a mental health assessment. Or you can even ask to speak to somebody and discuss without making an appointment or anything what's going on with you and allow them to let you know that there's nothing that is going on that's abnormal. Continue doing what you're doing and you'll be okay. Or let's explore that a little deeper. Let's set an appointment and let's just talk. We're in a place where things can't be returned to normal as what we saw as normal prior to the pandemic. It'll take years for that. So I think one way that you can manage your anxiety and depression is to have realistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Understand that there are fixes that seem logical that we think about in our society, that we think the government should do, or we think a provider should do. And there's a lot more behind the scenes of making that happen, but it's still a great idea. But be patient and go back to what our ancestors and what our indigenous people did, and that was try to minimalize our lives until we get through this. Think about what we need and what we want, and what's the difference in that, and live a simpler life for ourselves and for our children. Holidays are coming up. There'll be a lot of anxiety about trying to get what we think our children want versus what they need. There's going to be a shortage. We have a severe transportation problem, so products are not going to be available. And that in itself will cause a lot of anxiety between adult and child, because a lot of people won't get what they want this year.
Mm-hmm.
But reprioritize and think about how important it is to have a family and to be able to spend time with your family without the exchange of material items.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a child, we used to make a lot of gifts, and we did a lot of handwritten cards where it was much more personal to the receiver. And that's something that we've lost that can easily be done and appreciate it. So be kind to yourself. Be thankful for each day. Each day is not necessarily guaranteed for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we forget that sometimes. And so I think going backwards a little bit, the biggest thing that I do to manage my mind is to constantly evaluate my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And most often, that's my expectations of others. I have to realize that I can't set standards for other people. So I have to lower my expectations. In the pandemic, we're short staff in every industry. So I can't get mad at the restaurant because they're taking so long to bring me my water.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the best they can. And if I'm at a grocery store and the line seems to be long and they're not opening any more lanes, I have to be patient and understand that they don't have the staff to do that. And so small things like that is what I'd like to see our society here in Columbus, Ohio, do, and just always be kind to others. It doesn't cost us anything to be kind.
Amen. You have truly inspired us and educated us and enlightened us. And I thank you so much for that wisdom and all the wisdom you shared with us during this truly transformational dialogue.
Well, I appreciate you for inviting me, for allowing me to talk about our agency. We'd love to help. Anytime you need anything, feel free to call. Reach out. If there's someone in your life or in your community that you identify as needing help, we'd love to help them.
I appreciate that. And I'm thankful to you, and I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful for Adam H. making this possible. Their grant funding is helping us to have this deep dive into issues that
yes.
affect us all. And improve Indigenous mental health and all mental health. We
yes,
love everyone.
And I would be remiss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I would be remiss for not acknowledging how much I appreciate Adam
mm-hmm.
H. as well.
Mm-hmm.
Without Adam H., the services that we provide would not be possible.
We love everyone that listens to this show. We're thankful for you. And we hope that you've heard it today. We hope someone has said to you that God loves you, and we do too. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima. Thank you for joining us today, and we can't wait to be with you all again next time on A Conversation with Dawn Karima. We'll see you then.